To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. God is good all the time. He is merciful, he is long-suffering, he is forgiving, he is gentle, he is meek, he is kind, he is just, he is pure, he is righteous, holy, and true. I'm Pastor Desiree Parks, your friend. It's always such a pleasure to share God's word with you. Can I just tell you today, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one. Just keeping it real. You know, you're not going to find one. You know, churches today are run by and filled with imperfect people. Amen? They're run by and they're filled with imperfect people. And what God is telling me to tell you today, it's not an excuse for you to stay home. He is saying to you today that you're to plant yourself into a body of believers. When you plant yourself in a body of believers, he is saying that is the church. Because the church is not the building. The church is the people. We are the church, the people. You need it, is what God says. You need to find yourself in a church and you need to plant yourself in that church. Don't just attend the church when you feel like. He says, plant yourself there. Make that local church. Make that church your church. Amen? Find a church that is preaching and teaching biblical truths, is what he is saying. Find a church. Find a body of believers that are studying and preaching the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. It is important for you to give God what he wants. Amen. I'm telling you today, whether you know it or not, Jesus has feelings. He has feelings. And when we give Jesus what he wants, he will give us what we are looking for. Hallelujah. Give Jesus what he wants. He says, plant yourself into a body of believers that is called the church. Stop going to church online unless you are disabled. You need to go into the physical building where the church is. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Go into the house of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one. It is broken people. It is the imperfect people that run churches. And go to churches. Hallelujah. You have to learn to walk and to live in the presence of God. And you cannot do it alone at home. I am telling you. Oh, I watch church online. No. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and 25, I think it says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, you must go to church. You must go into the physical building. Go to a church where they're teaching and preaching the Bible. Hallelujah. Preaching the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Go to a church where the pastor opens the Bible, where the scriptures are being read. You have to go to church. You know, Jonah chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. Jonah was a prophet of God. And God allowed Jonah. Jonah was walking in disobedience. And God caused Jonah to be swallowed by a big fish. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He's a prophet of God. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and declare a message, proclaim a message to Nineveh that he was getting ready to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah didn't see fit to go to Nineveh because he thought that they were a disobedient people. And he said to God, I know if I go to Nineveh, you're going to forgive them and they're going to be saved. Jonah is refusing to go to a disobedient people while being disobedient to God. Yet God was using Jonah as a prophet. Jonah is imperfect and God was using imperfect Jonah. Jonah messed up. And even though Jonah messed up, God didn't just let Jonah's sin slide. He punished Jonah by putting Jonah in the belly of a fish. But in Jonah's disobedience, there were other people that were endangered. Because the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, that the Lord sent out a great wind, chapter 1, verse 4, into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth where the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the ship master came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Jonah is given an instruction by God to go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh, "I'm going to destroy them if they don't repent." And Jonah, who is a servant of God, a prophet of God, is walking in disobedience. And him walking in disobedience endangered the life of everybody on the ship. God told him, go to Nineveh. He bought a ticket, got on a boat, and went down to Tarshish and the opposite direction. So what am I saying to you? Jonah, God is using in his church. And Jonah is a broken man. I told you, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one, because churches are run by and filled of imperfect people. And what God is saying, you are imperfect too, so you just need to go plant yourself in one and stop making excuses. Moses took his tent and pitched it afar off from the camp while he was in the wilderness. Exodus 33:7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. The tabernacle, the first tabernacle, was Moses' house, the tent. Because the tabernacle was not built until chapter 37 of Exodus. So the first tabernacle was Moses took the tabernacle. He took his own tent, pitched it afar away from the camp where the other children of Israel had their tents pitched. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. He started the church in his house in the wilderness. Moses wasn't perfect. Moses is the same man. When God says, "I'm sending you back to Egypt to deliver my people," Moses says, I don't have it all together, God. You can't send me." And God says, "Yes, I'm sending imperfect you, Moses." God used an imperfect Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery, bondage. Imperfect Moses started the church in the wilderness. God used Peter, the one that denied him, to build his church. Thousands were saved in one day on the day of Pentecost. It is imperfect people that God uses. I'm going to say it again. If you are looking for a perfect church, you are not going to find one. Just find the church where they love God. They love the presence of God. Amen? Because the presence of God is Jesus Christ himself. Just go plant yourself in the local church. And another thing, please read your Bible. If you read your Bible, it will keep you from sin. Or if you don't read your Bible, sin will keep you from your Bible. Amen? If you fill yourself up with the Word of God, you will lose your appetite for the world. But if you fill yourself up on the world, if you continue in your ways and not go find a church, you will lose your appetite for the scriptures. Let me tell you something. God is always watching what we're doing. Yeah, it's nice to have YouTube and social media to watch sermons. Yes. But you don't do those things unless you are disabled. Unless there's no way for you to go into the physical church house, then you go to church. Amen? If you are not disabled, you're supposed to be a member of your local church. Matthew 11:28 says, "Listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He says, "And I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You, the things that you will get going into the physical church house, you will not get it sitting on your sofa at home, scrolling YouTube on your phone or on your television. Jesus has come to bring salvation to the lost. Listen to me. Find a church that loves the presence of God. Find a church that is preaching and teaching the Bible. You know, Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, that's the way you are. The Bible says, judge not, so ye be not judged. People are people. You hear me? People are people. And you don't blame Jesus for people. Don't blame Jesus because the pastor this, the parishioners are that. No, no, no. People are people. You go to church and receive the Lord. Read your Bible. Fall in love with Jesus. Go to church for Jesus, not for people. It is all about Jesus. It's not about the people. It's not about people. Let me tell you something. You see, darkness? I was once in darkness. I was once on my way to a burning hell. And Jesus reached way down in the miry clay and pulled me up. Darkness is a prison. Pestilence. Listen, pestilence, sickness, disease, infirmity walks in darkness. Darkness is a prison. And if you don't go into the house of God, you're sitting in darkness, and darkness is a prison. The leper was imprisoned in his sickness, and he was determined that day to receive his healing. He took a risk and he went into the church in the wilderness where Jesus was, where the multitude were gathered following Jesus. He went into the church, even though he knew he was a leper. He knew he was broken. He knew he was in sin. The adulterous woman went into Simon's house. She, not adulterous woman, the prostitute, the harlot, she went into Simon's house knowing that she was a prostitute and knowing that everyone there knew she was a prostitute. But she took the risk. Take the risk and go into the house of God. You need a healing. Jonah didn't listen. And God taught him a lesson. He didn't listen. And God taught him a lesson. You have to hear God. You have to trust him. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. What he did back then, he's doing it now. Even if the church is in a house, go. Start somewhere. Just go. Judge not. See ye be not judged. Just go. The Bible says in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's Jesus' business if he wants to start a church in a house. It's his business if he wants to start it in a backyard. It's his business if he wants to start it in a storefront. It's his business if he wants to start it in the park. They were gathered in an upper room somewhere when he sent his Holy Spirit. It's his business where he wants to start his church. You just go plant yourself in a church. Jesus has not called, come to save the perfect. He came to bring salvation to the lost. That's why he came. Give God what he wants. Because I'm telling you, I told you already, Jesus has feelings. Give him what he wants. He wants your life. He wants your love. He wants your attention. He wants your thoughts. Remember Sarah? He hears your thoughts. Sarah doubted God in her heart. When she heard Jesus talking to Abraham in his tent, saying your wife Sarah is going to have a child next year. Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She doubted in her heart. She says, me, an old woman, me, have a child at my age? And when my husband is an old man too? She was 90 Abraham was 99. She doubted God. God hears your thoughts. Whichever pastor you're talking about, whichever church you're talking about, God is hearing and he is watching what you're doing. The only thing that Jesus wants you to do, or the only person he wants you to talk about, is him. Talk about him. Genesis 18 says in verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" That's what she said. She says, "I'm an old woman. Shall I have pleasure at my age? Have a child? I wanted a child since I was young." Do you know that it's God that builds the church? The pastor doesn't build the church. He says, if he don't build the church, it's not going to grow. Amen? So if you are looking at a church where you feel it's only a little bit of people in there, God must not be there, it doesn't mean that God is not there. He builds his church how he wants to build his church. Is anything too hard for God? Sarah said, "Me? A baby at this age?" The same church you're looking at and judging and criticizing, God will grow it overnight. He will grow it overnight. But God is going to do things his way, in his timing. You know, King Saul was the first king in Israel. And Israel saw the other nations that they had big, tall, fine-looking, strapping king. And they went to Samuel and said, "Oh, we want a king like the other nations." And the prophet Samuel was so angry. And the Lord says, "Samuel, don't be angry at them. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Don't take them on, Samuel. Samuel, don't take them on. I know you are my prophet. It's not you they're not listening to me, to Samuel. It's me that they're not wanting to listen to. It's me that they're not appreciating." You know, the preacher with the small church, amen, with a handful of people, God is saying, it's not you they're rejecting, it's him. If they don't want to come, it's not because of you're doing anything wrong. He says, just continue on course, continue to minister my word, continue to teach the Bible. It is nothing you're doing wrong, preacher. It is nothing that you're teaching wrong. It's they have made a decision to reject Jesus. It's not you. You see, there are a lot of churches that are full to the brim and overflowing, and everybody's on their way to a burning hell because there's no correction going on there. They're just telling them things to appease them, to make them feel good. So they're gathering there because there is no rebuke. There's no reproof. There is no correction going on. But you have your church with your 20 and your 30 and you're thinking, what is wrong with you? God is saying there's nothing wrong with you, like he told Samuel. 1 Samuel 15:28 says, "And Samuel said unto him, the Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and had given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you." Saul was the first king of Israel. That was the king that the people wanted. So God gave them what they wanted. But they received what? A disobedient king. A king that was not following Jesus. You have to find a pastor that is following Jesus. You have to go to a church where the preacher is preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Saul was not following Jesus. So God dethroned him and raised up David. 1 Samuel 16:6-7. "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." You hear that? God said, "I don't see how you see. I don't build my church the way you build your church. I'm not about tradition." Amen. If we could figure God out, God wouldn't be God. He says, "I don't see as man seeth, for man looketh at what? On the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart." Stop watching the people's church and counting how many empty seats are in there. and saying that the pastor must be doing wrong and something wrong. No. No, no, no. You need to find, you need to press into the presence of God and find a church that loves the presence of God. Find the people that love God, that are worshiping God, that are serving God. God said to the prophet Samuel, you got it wrong. And he's God's prophet. He says, I didn't pick him. You see simplicity, it frightens the devil, but it excites heaven. Simplicity scares the crap out of Satan. He doesn't want to see a simple preacher like me. Because I'm going to make it plain and simple so you understand the word of God. I'm not coming with fancy words to you. I'm just talking to you normal. He hates that. Because when you keep the word of God simple, when you just teach the word of God, it scares him. Because you're going to understand. But if I come to you speaking with eloquent words, amen, coming with my seminary degrees and all the degrees more than a thermometer, you're not going to understand. And that's what the devil loves. That's what he loves. That doesn't shake him. That doesn't move him because he knows you're not getting any correction. There's no rebuking. There's no correcting a sin. So that's what he loves. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a big church. There's nothing wrong. I believe in growth. But I also believe that if you're not rooted and grounded and planted, you won't grow. Listen, a rolling stone gathers no moss. If a stone is continually blowing in the wind and rolling all day long, it won't grow moss. But when a stone is planted, moss grows on it. Plant yourself into a body of believers. That's called the church. God says to tell you, you need the church. The church is the body of Christ. Find a church that believes and teaches the whole Bible. Find one. Take the risk, is what God is saying to you today. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Stop being conformed to the world. Oh, tradition says that the preacher's supposed to be a man. Tradition say the preacher's supposed to dress this way. Tradition say, oh, be nice. Why you gotta be so rough? Why you gotta teach like that? No, no, the Bible says sin is to be corrected. Darkness is a prison and sin is darkness and sin is sick. The harlot wanted out of darkness. Find a church that is talking about Jesus, even if it's in a house. Moses' tent was the first tabernacle, was a church building in the wilderness. Find a preacher that is pressed into the presence of God. The Bible says when the children of Israel saw Moses enter into the tent, the meeting place, the tabernacle, they all stood in their tent door and watched him because when he entered into the presence of the Lord, God showed up. Find a church like that. Find a simple church, please. 1 Samuel 16:11 says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Samuel said, no, something is wrong because everybody, all of Jesse's sons that he picked, God said, oh, not that one. Oh, no, it's not that one. No, it's not that one. Samuel said, hold on. Do you have another child? Do you have another son? He said, oh, yeah, I have one. He's in the field tending sheep. He's in training out there taking care of sheep. David was taking care of sheep for the Lord. He was in training, didn't even know that. He was out there playing a shamar praise for the Lord. Out there playing on his guitar, bang, bang, bang. While looking after the sheep, he was barely, he couldn't afford the drum. He couldn't afford the piano. He couldn't afford the tambourine. He couldn't afford musicians. He didn't even have a choir. But he had all of heaven's hosts around him. He was out there slaying bears and lions for the sheep. That is the type of preacher you need to go under. Someone that's going to fight for you in prayer. Someone that's going to fast and pray for you. Someone is going to be in agreement with you and believe for you. Like David, he was in training. He was out there with a few sheep for years as a youth. He was in training. He didn't know he was going to run a nation. He didn't know he was going to become king. David's congregation was sheep and probably goat and probably donkey. But he was in training. He had a few sheep that he was looking after. But then God gave him all the entire nation of Israel to minister to. Why? If God can't trust you with little, he won't trust you with much. Go find a church. Plant yourself. Find out what you're supposed to do in that church. Stop running from your assignment because it doesn't look like tradition says it's supposed to look. Jesus says, if two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I am there. Who cares? Where in the Bible does it say a church must have this amount of people? Where in scripture does it say that? A church must have 50 people or 100 people. Where in which church you know just start, boop, have 100 people? Think about it. Why is God spending so much time trying to get you to understand? Huh? Why? Because he loves you and he desires the best for you. Because if you sit down your entire life trying to find a perfect church, or you sit down scrolling YouTube or social media, listen to people in their kitchen instead of going into the house of God, you will never get to know who Jesus really is. You will never get what Jesus has for you. Jesus has sent me to tell you to take the risk. Take the risk today. Go into the house of God. Jonah was broken. David was broken. Samuel was broken. Sarah was broken. Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah said, I don't want to preach. It's not enough. They're too wicked. You hear? Jonah said they're too wicked. Nineveh had thousands of people. And guess what? The church in Nineveh had thousands of people. And Jonah said, I am not going to that church to preach to those wicked people. So you see, Nineveh was full. And preacher Jonah said, I'm not going. So what's the sense of having a full church full of sinners? Huh? That there's no correction. God is saying, no. Go and correct them. Rona said, no, I'd rather go to a church where there's just a few people that are just living for Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's good. We want the church to grow. Amen? We want you to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We want you to come to our church. But if you feel like you're not called to our church, please, in Jesus' name, still find a church. If I am not your pastor, if I should die today and you're a member of my church, I still want you to find a church. You must continue to serve Jesus Christ. You don't stop going to church because your pastor dies or your pastor is no longer preaching. Who are you following, your pastor or Jesus? Find a church, people. Walk and live in the presence of God. Give him what he wants. Remember what Psalm 127 says. Except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Remember, he hears your thoughts. And he loves when you think about him. So make sure your thoughts and your comments are about God and not others. Amen. God bless you. Until next time.